Skottland, och det är i en pjäs som heter Spelet om Skottland. Men först en programändring som gäller morgondagen. Klockan 20 sänds då ett program som har rubriken Larmet går, oljekatastrof. Tillkallade specialister arbetar för närvarande febrilt med oljeläckaget vid plattform Bravo i Ekofiskområdet i Nordsjön, där 4000 ton olja per dygn strömmar ut. Den här engelska dokumentärfilmen visar experterna, de så kallade källdödarna, i arbete vid katastrofer av den här omfattningen. Tänk till exempel vid den stora oljebranden vid Bay Marchand i mexikanska golfen 1970. Den här programändringen imorgon innebär att det tidigare annonserade programmet Örspel och akvarell utgår och sänds istället den 26 maj. Men dessförinnan 21 och 25 ska vi visa ett reportage från Borlänge och Kramfors som handlar om oron för sysselsättningen. I det här programmet som heter När jobben försvinner medverkar bland andra författaren Birger Norman. Nu visar TV2-teatern för ovanligheten skull en skotsk föreställning. Det är den fria teatergruppen 784 som på samma gång roande och anklagande skildrar Skottlands historia under de senaste 200 åren. En historia som utspelas i skuggan av England.
Good, and then they just went. One thing about it, man, what's funny is Oscar McGow. Welcome to the 784 Theatre Company's production of The Cheviot, The Stag and The Black Black Oil. And tonight, we're going to have some more songs like that. If you know the words, join in with us. And afterwards, we're going to have a dance. And in between, we're going to be telling a story. It's a story of what's been happening here in the Highlands. It's a story that has a beginning, a middle, but as yet, no end. It begins, I suppose, in 1746, with Culloden and all that. The Highlands are in a bit of a mess. Speaking or singing the Gaelic language is forbidden. The wearing of the plaid is forbidden. Years, the people put up with the oppression of the law, the soldiers, the landowners, and the poverty of the soil. Many thousands emigrated, leaving sadly behind the brow-beaten, starving people. Then, at the beginning of the 19th century, a new threat emerged.
Strathnava, Sutherland, January 1814.
At least 300 illegal stores in Strathnava at the moment, Mr. Lord. Good Lord.
Patrick Seller, an Edinburgh lawyer, now under practice of the Duke of Sutherland.
They have not enough money for rent. At least they have enough to purchase the barley. The whole thing smacks of a terrible degeneracy, sir. Paul Marcus is not unaware of the responsibilities his wealth places upon him, Mr. Seller.
James Loch, another Edinburgh lawyer, now commissioner to the whole Sutherland estate, and author of a treatise on the value of land improvement. George Granville Lewson Gore, Marquess of Stafford, later Duke of Sutherland, owned large areas of Yorkshire and Staffordshire, coal mines, canals and railways. His marriage to Elizabeth Gordon, Countess of Sutherland, brought him another 750,000 acres of the Northern Highlands, which were losing money. Locke and Seller were convinced that the best way to improve the estate was to restock the land with the more profitable Cheviot sheep and clear the people to the coast.
I gathered you yourself, Mr. Seller, have a scheme for a sheep walk in this area.
The Highlands of Scotland may produce as much as £200,000 worth of lean cattle this year. The same ground, under the Cheviot, may produce as much as £900,000 worth of fine effects in advancing this estate in wealth, comfort, industry, virtue and happiness are palpable.
Well, Mr. Seller, your offer for this area falls a little bit short of what I had hoped.
Well, Mr. Locke, the present rents, when they can be collected, amount to only £142 per annum.
Nevertheless, his lordship will have to remove these people at considerable expense.
To restock the land with sheep will cost considerably more.
A more reasonable rent would seem to be £400 per annum.
Well, there's the danger of disturbances to be taken into account. £300.
Depend on the Reverend David Mackenzie to deal with that. £375.
Mackenzie's a Highlander. £325.
He's just been rewarded with the parish of Fair. £365.
I shall have to pay decent wages to my plain, honest, industrious South Country shepherds. £350.
You're a hard man, Mr. Seller.
Cash.
Done.
And I'll by the surface and seldom you see. at double the price that you sold to me. As the rain on the hills I comes in from the sea, all the blessings of life fall in showers from me. So if you'd abandon your own misery, we will teach you the secret of life. To double the rent that you pay, the factor is willing to give me my way. So off you go quietly like sheep, as they say. I arrange for the boats to collect you today. As you pay on the hills, I comes in from the sea. All the blessings of life fall in showers from me. So if you'd abandon your own misery, we will teach you the secrets of high and sea.
The Countess has always been very kind to us.
Aye, she's in England.
Why wouldn't she be?
Fancy palaces and fine French wines. It's our rent she's spending.
Rent? You never pay any rent.
Where would I get the money to pay rent? Not the bad weather, plucking the barley, mildew and the potatoes. Last year it was both together. Now they're talking about bringing in soldiers to remove us completely.
Soldiers?
There's 150 of them arrived in a boat off Loch Inver.
Will she get on with some work? Flora? Andra? Bring them in.
Mr. Sailor, there's an old woman in there, Mrs. Chisholm, and her daughter.
Make sure you get everything out.
Hello,
come on, sir. No woman, come out, sir.
We'll get the torches in there then, ma'am. That'll move, eh?
Come on, 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 come on,
As the evictions increased and spread, real resistance began. Most of the men were away in the army, or at the fishing, or south gathering somebody else's harvest to pay their own rent. The men who were there had little fight left in them. It was left to the woman to rekindle the fires of resistance.
Glen Calvin, Rossan.
The woman met the constables on the road and seized the hand of the one who held the notice. While some held him by the wrist, others held a live coal to the papers and set fire to them.
Strathoyker, Sutherland. When the sheriff and his men arrived, the women were on the road and the men behind the walls. The women shouted, "Better to die here than America or the Cape of Good Hope." The first blow was struck by a woman with a stick. The gentry leant out of the saddle and beat at the woman's heads with their crops.
Northeast. McBain put his men into two divisions, and they attacked a woman from two sides. They drove them along the shore, the women screaming to their men, "Be manly and stand up." Police and woman fought on the sand until McBain recalled his officers and the woman crawled away to bathe their bloody heads.
Green Yards, Easter Ross.
Sheriff Taylor, accompanied by several officers and a police force of about 30 or more, arrived at Green Yards near Bono Bridge and found about 300 people, two-thirds of whom were women. The women stood in front armed with stones, while the men occupied the background. They bore the brunt of the battle were the principal sufferers, the wounds on their skulls and bodies showing plainly the severe manner which they had been dealt with by the police when they were retreating.
Anne Ross, 40, struck in the breast, kicked in the head. Margaret Ross, 18, head split. Alienation of mental faculties very perceptible. Elizabeth Ross, 25, knocked down, kicked on the breasts. The batons tore away part of her scalp, shattered frontal and parietal bones. Her long hair, clotted with blood, could be seen in quantities over the ploughed land. Margaret Ross, mother of seven, fractured skull from baton wounds, died later. Catherine Ross, who came to help the wounded, struck down until she fell in the river. Grace Ross, felled with a blow on the forehead. Helen Ross, brought home on a litter, and for the space of 8 days, could not move her hands or feet.
But for every township that fought back, there were very many more who didn't. You see, the landlords had an ally in the heart of the community.
Souls. Oh, you are sheep. sheep who have gone astray, who have wandered from the paths of righteousness and into the tents of iniquity. Oh, guilty sinners, turn from your evil ways, and there will be no sucking of hand drops in the back room. How many times and on how many Sabbaths have I warned you from this very pulpit of your wickednesses and of the wrath of the Almighty, for I will repay, said the Lord. Some of you here today are so far from the fold, have so far neglected the dignity of your womanhood, that you have risen up to curse your masters and violate the laws of the land. I refer, of course, to the burning of the race. And everybody here gathered knows to which passions I am referring. There will be no more of this foolishness. Be warned. Unless you repent, you are in great danger of the fire, where there will be much wailing and gnashing of teeth. On that fearful day, when God divides the sheep from the goats, every one of us, and particularly those whom I have spoken to today, will have to answer for their flagrant transgression of authority.
And at once.
Everything except Kolka. Here the people made a stout resistance. The men formed a second line of defense, in case the women should receive any ill treatment. They, however, never put a finger on the officers of the law, all of whom returned home without serving a single summons or evicting a single crofter.
In spite of these victories, the clearances gathered momentum. Hundreds of thousands of people were driven from their homes all over the north of Scotland. There is no doubt that a change had to come to the Highlands. The population was growing too fast. The old methods of agriculture couldn't keep everyone fed. Even before the clearances, emigration had been the only way out for some. But this coincided with something else. English and Scottish capital was growing powerful and needed to expand. Already huge profits were being made as a result of the Industrial Revolution and improved methods of agriculture. And this accumulated wealth had to be used to make more profit, because this is the law of capitalism. And it expanded all over the globe. And just as it saw in China, the Middle East, the West Indies, Africa, Canada, ways of increasing itself, so here, in the Highlands of Scotland, it saw the same opportunity. The technological innovation was there. The Cheviot, a breed of sheep that could withstand the Highland winter and produce fine wool. And the money was there. Unfortunately, the people were there too. But of all the many evictors, only one man, Mr. Patrick Sellar, did not escape the full majesty of the law. He was charged with the murder of three people and numerous other crimes at Inverness High Court.
Therefore, I would ask you to ignore all the charges except two.
Now, the first concerns the destruction of barns. Now, in this case, Mr. Sellar has ignored the custom of the country, but he has not infringed the laws of Scotland. The second case concerns the burning of the House of Chisholm. And here, we are reminded of the contradictory nature of the testimony. Now, if the jury are at all at a loss in this case, I would ask them to take into consideration the character of the accused. That is always of value in balancing contradictory testimony. And here we have, in the first place, real evidence of the conduct of Mr. Sellar towards the sick, which in each case has been proved most humane. And in the second place, there are the letters of Sir George Abercrombie and Mr. Fenton and Mr. Brodie, which, although they are not evidence, must have some weight with the jury.
Have you reached your verdict? Not guilty.
My opinion concurs with that of the jury.
Now, these people are a century behind the times I have brought them home. And I'm perfectly satisfied that no person has suffered hardship or injury as a result of these improvements.
Certainly no hardship or injury was suffered in Dunrobin Castle, the Highland home of the Sutherland family. They invested a lot of capital in their Highland estate, increasing it from 750,000 acres to 1.5 million acres. The gardens at Dunrobin were based closely on those at Versailles, the first Duchess being a great friend and admirer of the late Marie Antoinette. The Sutherlands displayed at the very least a grotesque lack of feeling for what was going on around them, for what was being done to build the family fortune. Scene 5, 1882, Isle of Skye.
Now, at that time, Lord MacDonald was driving the people down to the shores.
What shores?
All of a wee dram. Yes. Well, you see, apparently they were having an altercation about the grazing rights on a little moor.
A little moor?
Oh, Angus, that's very civil of you.
Just see when.
All right. Terrible stuff.
I tell you what, I'm sending a crate of this stuff round to your croft.
When? Oh. You know, this reminds me of the time I was up at Lord MacDonald's, and he offered me a wee glass, nearly as wee as this one. And I said, tell me, Lord MacDonald, now, I said, which did you put in first, the whiskey or the water? This is what I don't see makes any difference. I said, yes, I said, but in pure out of interest, which did you put in first, the whiskey or the water? He says, well, I put the whiskey in first. I said, oh, well, we'll be reaching it eventually then.
Oh, you're a terrible man, Angus. A terrible man
I
for the drink.
That, yes.
And a terrible man for the jokes as well.
Yes, thank God it's only cold tea.
Well, I'm dead. Will you pour a bottle of the Talisker over my dead body?
Angus, I would be delighted to. That's a very noble sentiment indeed, yes. He won't mind if I pass it through the kidneys first. Anyway, as I was saying, now to be serious for a moment, because it's a very serious case. Anyway, Lord MacDonald was at that time evicting some tenants.
Some tenants?
No, I'll just stick to the talent.
Scene 5, 1882, Isle of Skye, Glendale.
Now, contrary to the opinion of our noble proprietors, set forth in the newspapers, notably the Scotsman, which is known hereabouts as the United Liar. Now they have shown themselves to have no interest in these parts, except for the extraction of greater and greater rents, the removal of the people to all corners of the earth, and the subjection of those who remain to the will of the factor. Now over the past 60 years, we in Skye have put up with just about every indignity a human being can suffer. And they have succeeded. because we are divided amongst ourselves. Now, we are all in the same situation. Every man in every township is a grievance. Now, if we go one by one to make separate claims, we know what will happen, don't we? It should not fall on any one person to be singled out for the wrath of the factor. We must go all together. And any punishment must be inflicted on all of us.
I'm not so sure about that, no.
And to guard against anyone falling out of the ranks, Mr. MacLeod. It has been proposed that we one and all subscribe our names in a book and pledge ourselves in a matter of honour to stand by any demand we may make. And until our grievances are met, it has been proposed that we withhold our rights.
No trouble at all!
The idea of united action spread. In the Braes area of Skye, a mighty confrontation was about to take place. The MacDonalds, in order to settle their vast debts, had already driven off most of the people from their estate. But the tenants in the Braes resolved, like the people of Glendale, to withhold their rent until certain of the grievances were met.
Lord MacDonald decided to put the law in force against them, and not on any account to yield to their demands. The unfortunate sheriff officer, his assistant, who also happened to be the factor's clerk, and his lordship's grand officer, set out from Portree with summons of removal on all the people of Penicharin, Balmyanach, and Gidintaya!
Oh well, the sheriff from the factor came, and he came down our way. By Lord MacDonald, he was sent to clear us out the sky. Oh, the battle was long and the people were strong, you should have been there that day. Well, his deputy Martin came along, he could not speak nor stand. They filled him up with whiskey, Betty threw us off our land. Oh, oh, the battle was long and the people were strong, you should have been there that day. Well, had he come with 50 men, he could not pass that day. For all the women from the Braes got out to bar his way. Oh, the battle was long and the people were strong, you should have been there that day. Well, take your writs and take your bills and put them to the flame. The sheriff did as he was bid and off he went again. Oh, the battle was long and the people were strong, you should have been there that day. Oh, the laird was angered, he was wild, MacDonald must not fail. He sent the sheriff back again to throw us into jail. Oh, the battle was long and the people were strong, you should have been there that day. And next came 50 Polish men from Glasgow, they were sent. How will the Inverness police define that what we said we meant? Oh, the battle was long and the people were strong, you should have been there that day. Now a wet and dismal morning dawned us from Portree they rode. But the men of the Braes were up in time and met them on the road. All day the cruel battle race we showed that we could fight. But five brave men were taken off to Inverness that night. And the battle was long and the people were strong, you should have been there that day. Well, the judge, he found them guilty, then he fined them £2.10. In half a minute he was paid and home they came again. Once more MacDonald's anger broke, invade the Isle of Skye. 2,000 soldiers, boats and guns, the people must comply. Oh, well, if we send a million men in London, they declared, we'd never clear the Isle of Skye, the Braes men are not feared. Oh, the battle was long and the people were strong, you should have been there that day. And the Polish up in Inverness demanded extra men. No other town in all the land would help them out again. Oh, the battle was long and the people were strong, you should have been there that day. So back the sheriff came to Braes, all Scotland watched them go. Will you clear off MacDonald's land? The people answered, no!
Lord MacDonald was forced by his fellow landlords, in the interests of his own class, to come to a settlement in the Braes. A victory had been won.
But the men of Glendale did not fare so well. A gunboat was sent in and three men were imprisoned for 2 months. But the resistance continued. two gunboats, a transport ship, and 100 marines were sent in against them. Her Imperial Majesty's government would move in its own time.
Clearances, many of the men did not resist because they were away in the army suffering and dying in defense of the British way of life. By the 1850s, it slowly dawned on some people that they were being used. In 1854, the third Duke of Sutherland assembled the tenants of his Highland estate in Gorsby, Southern.
Good morning. I have come all the way to Gorsby to talk to you, my tenants, because our country is in need. The Russians, under their cruel, despotic Tsar, seem to think that they are the masters of Europe. Well, they're not. And we are going to show him that they are not. The Queen, God bless her, will not be dictated to by some Russian potentate, especially when it comes to the great trading arrangements that she has been able to make over the whole globe for the benefit of all of us, of you, as well as of me. And so we have been called on to come to her aid in the far-off Crimea, when in 1800 the 93rd Highland Regiment was formed, 1,000 strong. 800 men came from the county of Sutherland, tenants of this estate. They have had a long and noble history, and even now are under orders for Scutari. The Queen needs men, and as always, she looks to the north. And we have been asked to raise the proud banner of the 2nd Battalion of the 93rd Highlanders. My commissioners inform me that the response so far has been disappointing. In the whole county of Sutherland, not one man has volunteered. I know you to be loyal subjects of Her Majesty, and I am prepared to reward your loyalty. Every man who enlists today will receive 6 golden sovereigns from my private purse. Now, if you will all step up in an orderly manner and give your names to these men, they will give you the money. You want to see the Mongol hordes sweeping across Europe, burning our houses, driving you into the sea? Have you no pride in your country? Come forward. This is disgraceful, tardy, tumbled. I demand an explanation.
I am sorry for the response that Your Grace's proposals are meeting here. But there is a cause for it. It is the opinion of this country that if the Tsar of Russia should occupy Dunrobin Castle, that we couldn't expect worse at his hands than we have experienced at the hands of your family in the past 50 years. We have no country to fight for. You robbed us of our country and gave it to the sheep. Therefore, since you prefer sheep to men, let the sheep now defend you.
Only one man was enlisted at that meeting.
Out of 33 infantry battalions in the Crimea, only three were Highland.
This was only a small setback to the recruiters. Almost as fast as they cleared them off the land, they later recruited them into the army. The old tradition of loyal soldiering was fostered and exploited with careful calculation.
Every village has its memorial. Every memorial has its list of men. They died to defend something. Those who came back found very little worth defending. Between 1810 and 1880, the landlords and speculators stocked the hills with sheep, the Cheviot, and later the Blackface. Somebody somewhere had a safe return on investment. But the people had to go. They went to the appalling slums of Victorian Glasgow, on cholera-ridden boats to Canada, America, Australia, South Africa, and they themselves drove out and subjugated other peoples for their land. The Highland exploitation chain-reacted around the world. But still they went. From all over Europe, more and more of them. In Australia, the Aborigines were hunted like animals. In Tasmania, not one was left alive. All over Africa, black men were massacred and brought to heel. In America, the plains were emptied of men and buffaloes, and the seeds of America's imperial power were firmly planted. As they went, they took their language and their songs with them. Mary McPherson, Big Mary of the songs, had to leave her native sky and find work in Edinburgh. It is said that when the woman bards died, they were buried face downward so that their songs would not come up to disturb us. But they do, still. And then suddenly, the stag. Thousands of herds of red deer were reared to provide sport for the gentry. The Highlands became Queen Victoria's own, and in her wake came the upper classes of Europe, intent on slaughter.
Boy. Float us past. We almost got sick and was caught. Although we think you're quaint, don't forget to pay your rent. And if you should want your land, we'll cut off your grass.